It's the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio KONP. Now, here's Todd.
Welcome to the program. First half of the show today, we're going to be talking with someone I haven't had a chance to talk to in a long time. Dr. Joshua Jones joins us. Josh, great to see you again. First off, thanks for stopping by. Since you've last changed careers, I've not had a chance to bring you in. So good to see you.
Great to see you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Now, although we should say he hasn't fully changed, he's just evolved in his career somewhat, still practicing and doing all of that. He's doing mostly telehealth. He was just telling me before we went on today, but he's also doing something that the public may want to partake in this coming Monday, right, on the 11th. Yeah, you're going to be the next in the first Fed Community Conversation series at Field Hall, but it's a little bit more than that, because you're going to be doing a podcast, or at least we'll have a chance to experience a podcast, and this is something you've been involved with for a while. Tell us a bit about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So my brother Jeff Jones and I have been doing the Cinemental Podcast, CineMental. So we put the cinema into mental, and it's a podcast about mental health in TV, film, and popular culture. What they get right, what they get wrong, and what we think people need to know about mental health.
Right. Now, for those who don't know about Josh, he's a psychiatrist by trade. That's what he does when he's not on school boards and running other things as well, where we've usually talked to him. So this fits just right in with what you and your brother are involved with. What made you guys decide this would be a thing?
Well, we've always wanted to spend more time together. My brother is a screenwriter and a professor down in L.A. in the other Angeles, and we wanted to spend more time together. We've also both had our own mental health issues. So my brother struggles with bipolar disorder, I with major depressive disorder, along with being a psychiatrist and helping other people. We wanted to tell our stories about how film and TV have helped us connect with our emotions, our mental health, and really kind of dispel stigma, help people talk about what's going on with them, to see two, you know, successful, strong men discuss mental health in a very real way.
Well, you know, the logical thing is to say, is Hollywood getting it right?
And the answer is kinda. Okay. It's a strong kinda, yeah. I mean, you know, Hollywood's there to tell stories, and that they're not there to really tell the truth about mental health. So they definitely, you know, make things more dramatic. They definitely kind of gloss over some of the nuance. But that's what Jeff and I try to do. We try to fill in the blanks of what Hollywood doesn't, to tell people mostly they're not alone, they're not broken, and you may see sparks and bits and pieces of what you're experiencing on screen, but let's help you find the words and have the conversations with your loved ones and your care providers about what's really going on with you.
I'm going to get into some specifics, but I got to get your take. When you look at shows that are like Shrinking, there's a huge popular show on Apple TV, right? It's got the big star power in it and all of that. Are those shows helpful or not? I mean, it's a comedy. It's meant to be somewhat not terribly serious about it, but it does dive into it. I mean, heck, it's about psychiatrists, right? Psychologists.
It absolutely is. And we actually covered Shrinking.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
We covered Shrinking many episodes ago, and they get a lot of things really right. One of the things that they do get right is how funny life is and life can be, and how you can laugh along with the mental health symptoms that you're having. It's okay to have the full experience of human emotions, even while you're dealing with things as serious as suicide, as depression. There are spots and bits and pieces of ironic humor, of full-blown joy that we need to grasp onto. And I think Shrinking does a great job of that.
All right. You'd love to roll in a Harrison Ford, you know, once in a while to help out in a session.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't
people
I?
Might listen to that guy, right?
He was the original Dr. Jones.
That's very true. Very good point. Very good point. Okay, so take us through a bit about how this podcast works, because that will lead us to what people will see on Monday if they come, when you are actually doing this podcast there in front of a live audience. But those who've not tuned into it yet, explain what you, you know, how you go from A to B through an episode.
Yeah. One of the great things about our podcast is even if you haven't seen the TV show or the movie, you can appreciate what we're talking about. We don't give away a ton of spoilers, but we definitely, you know, give you a an overview of what the show is about. But we're really there to use that as a jumping off point to a conversation about what's going on with the characters and with the whole, you know, mental health theme. For instance, we actually just recorded a show on Interstellar, the great Christopher Nolan movie from a few years ago. It's a science fiction movie, but the topic we talked about was the neurobiology and the psychology behind love, because the whole thing is a love letter to his daughter. So, yes, we talk about, you know, some very serious mental health issues, but we talk about the entire experience of human emotion and psychology. And, you know, you'll get an awful lot of brotherly banter, too. Sure. I mean, my brother, you know, slings a bunch of jibes at me and back and forth, too. So if you want to hear, you know, some mental health issues, if you want to hear, you know, Jeff's take on why films are successful, and if you want to hear brothers, you know, kind of pitch a bunch of junk at each other, we're for you.
It's free, by the way. It starts at 6 o'clock on Monday, this coming Monday at Field Hall. If you want to get in on it, it's very interesting. How do you pick what your show or your movie? As you just pointed out, there's something. I mean, it's not always about a mental health driven plot per se.
Well, we try to have a lot of fun with it. Obviously, you know, we'll pick movies that we really like. We'll pick things that are in the zeitgeist or, you know, coming up. For instance, the movie that we're going to cover on Monday is we're going to cover The Devil Wears Prada. The sequel just came out.
Right.
Yeah. And we're going to talk all things about that. You know, we try to pick movies that people really love and want to watch over and over and over again. Because, you know, we'd love people to just kind of pick episodes of our podcast, listen to a few that they love, and then say, you know what? I kind of like these guys. Let's hear more of what they have to say, even about shows that aren't my favorite.
How do you approach this? Do you find do you go by a character? Do you go by a overall plot themes? You know, how do you make your first approach into, you know, broaching these subjects?
Yeah, it really depends. If there's an obvious character that we really need to talk about, you know, so for instance, if we covered American Psycho, we would talk about the sociopath serial killer, and we'd give a diagnosis for that character. Otherwise, we'll look at broad themes or do both, for instance. Mm-hmm. When we talk about The Devil Wears Prada, we're absolutely going to talk about the Miranda Priestly character and how her, you know, kind of narcissism plays into things. But we'll also talk about the general overall theme about, you know, generational psychology in the workplace, which that movie talks about. So, Todd, we kind of go all over the map. We have it be a very free-ranging conversation. And then my brother expertly edits into it into a podcast, which makes me sound a lot smarter than I am. So that's pretty great.
What will be fun for folks, if they come Monday, they can see the raw assembly of this thing. And then later you can tune in and see how it actually gets posted up after the fact somewhat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And because this is also going to be a live show, we're going to reserve some time at the end for audience questions. That's really what my brother and I love to do. He's a professor. I mean, I love giving presentations and really interacting with folks, seeing what's on their mind. We can pivot very quickly and make sure that, you know, any question or comment that is asked ends up giving us some great content for people to take home some points with them.
Sure. Your overall goal in this, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I'm assuming this is it to, you know, get people to talk about it, and maybe it loosens someone up enough to say, you know what, I may have some of these issues. I need to talk to a Dr. Jones about things.
You know, Todd, I've been in this community here for 16 years, first as the medical director up at Peninsula Behavioral Health, then at Olympic Medical Center, and now I've stepped out into a little broader role with Providence Health System. My whole goal in my career has been to have people say, hey, I've got a mental health issue, and to have it be as easy as going to their primary care provider to get that addressed like any other health condition. And that's what we're hoping that the podcast helps people do, to know that they're not alone and to be able to have some language, some shared language to be able to take with them and say, here's what's going on with me. I don't know what I have. I don't want to say this is my diagnosis, but here's what's going on with me. And more than that, I know I'm not broken and can get some help.
Absolutely. There is, we'll go back to stigma. You talked at the top of the thing, you know this is a huge thing. That's one of the, probably a stumbling block people have with even picking the phone up in the first place.
You bet. I mean, stigma is huge. So this idea that I'm broken, this is shameful somehow it's my fault. These are all things that, you know, keep people from going and getting help. And fortunately, you know, since the pandemic, I think stigma is lowered. Yeah. But for certain segments of the population, you know, especially middle-aged and older men, mm-hmm. Older men have one of the highest suicide rates in the nation. Still going and saying, I need some help is hard.
Yeah. I bet you never thought that your practice would be somewhat based on podcasting way back when, right? I don't think any of us really realize where it will end up. But, you know, just your thoughts as you look back on it, did you ever think, well, I'm going to sit down and do these things, and that's going to be how I get people interested in getting some help?
The first time we ever talked, probably 20 years ago, podcast wasn't even a word.
I know what that was.
no idea that this was going to be part of it. But it's been such a blessing. And my brother and I get to have a great conversation with each other for about 3 hours every week. Talk about things that are on our mind.
Yeah. So if nothing else, has helped the family ties.
Oh, you right. Betcha. Yeah. And that's the number one reason why we're into it. Yeah. I mean, we're not to the point yet where it's getting monetized. Another word I have had to
nobody
learn.
Nobody knew what that was either, right?
Yeah. You know, maybe we get there someday. Maybe we don't. That's not the point. The point is really to get kind of the word out, to help people understand what's going on with them, to help us understand what's going on with ourselves and each other. And mostly to have some fun.
All right. We're going to take a break. Let's come back. We'll talk a bit more specifically about the podcast, about things as Dr. Joshua Jones sees it in the mental health world when we return right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio KONP.
Hi, it's Dan Shappy with Farmers Insurance. Ever call somewhere and get stuck in a phone maze so long you start questioning your life choices?
Press 1 to speak to a robot. Press 2 to be routed to the number 4 button. Press 3 to be disconnected inexplicably.
Yeah, we don't do that. We're right here in Port Angeles at 405 South Peabody Street. You need help? Just stop in. We'll look up, smile, and actually talk with you. Farmers Insurance, here when you need us.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers, Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every...
One more segment. We're talking with Dr. Joshua Jones, who is with his brother, put together the podcast that you can be a part of the taping of on May 11th, which is Monday at Field Hall. This is really kind of twofold. One, you get to see the behind the curtain stuff of doing a podcast, but it really is all about the content of mental health issues and how in cinema, TV, movies, how that is addressed, or at least using that as a vehicle to start talking about this as well. And that's what we were chatting about in the first part of the show. I want to talk about broadly more about mental health issues. You mentioned about older white guys like me are really like have a lot of problems. And I know why, because we're tough. We don't want to talk about it, or we don't want to admit maybe there's something going on.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and I have this conversation with patients who are my age all the time. When we were kids, the only emotion that young boys were allowed to feel was anger. Everything else was, you know, why are you feeling that way? Why the crying? Everything like that. Anger is a secondary emotion, and what I try to do with folks is, all right, let's try to dig a little deeper and figure out what's the emotion that's fueling that, because we weren't allowed to express that back in the day. It's much more allowed to express it now, and that's what's actually really going on for a lot of people, but it has been societally okay to express it as anger. And now it's not. So we got to relearn some tools. Mm-hmm. And so we do a lot of reteaching. You know, it's funny. Doctor actually comes from the Greek word for teacher. So that's what we try to do. That's what I try to do, is help people learn new skills to replace the skills they've learned that aren't working for them so much anymore.
You mentioned you do a lot of telehealth, so people are literally calling into you and doing this work, which has been kind of a good thing, because I think that does, forward it. I'm thinking in my own sense, I might be more apt to call you on the phone or do something, you know, via a chat with you, at least to start with. Do you agree? Has this opened up the gates a little bit?
Yeah, it's so funny. So my practice, I see mostly acute care, so in emergency departments and hospital floors. And there was this hesitancy at the beginning that, some people didn't think that people were going to be able to engage with the psychiatrist well enough over the audio, video, mm-hmm. Two-way communication device. I haven't found that to be true at all. The skills that we develop as psychiatrists, as mental health professionals, to engage people absolutely translate over those devices. And just as you pointed out, Todd, some people are less threatened when it's over video and right. audio than when we're sitting, in close proximity to each other. So I haven't found that at all. The studies that have been done about whether or not it's as effective as in-person care have borne that out as well. So I think it's absolutely fabulous. And I can sit in my home office and teleport into mm-hmm. 45 different hospitals that we serve without having to go there. It is super efficient.
Yeah. You're seeing a lot more patients, probably.
Seeing a lot of different types. Seeing a lot all over the place. It's, and the good news, I guess, because it's so easy to get your view constricted to your little world and to our world here on the peninsula. People's problems are very much the same no matter where you are. So this feeling that, oh my, we're the only ones going through this, it's not true. We're all going through this, what all this malaise that's going on right now. It's just tough everywhere.
What is what are you noticing as far? I mean, are we? Because I think a lot of people will say, "Boy, we really are. We've got a lot of mental health issues. Maybe we didn't have before, or is it just that we're addressing them now more than we did in the past?" You sort of alluded to that when we talk about people our age, but
I think it's both. And I mean, the pandemic. We are still feeling the effects of the pandemic. If the virus, not so much, but definitely the societal strains that the pandemic showed are very real. So we know that there was a lot of stress and a lot of mental health issues that developed because of all the lockdowns around the pandemic. It has definitely allowed people more space in which to acknowledge how much they're struggling since the pandemic. Generally, even though, you may see some economic metrics say that we're in a good place, et cetera, people aren't feeling that way. Right. It's not translating to them in their real lives. And that itself creates massive amounts of stress. And we know stress is really the driver of mental health issues.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so a lot of this, I'm on social media. I like it, but there's a love-hate relationship with that. Are you seeing that as being an issue too? Because we're so locked in. I guess in some ways we're talking about your podcast and all this techie stuff, but there's kind of a bad side to that too. And maybe, or is that just a convenient excuse for us to say, well, it's because we're all too connected all the time?
No, you're right. And the data is really bearing that out, especially in the teenagers. Yeah. And younger folks, the stresses have never been more real. If I said something really dumb on the playground when I was in sixth grade, it would evaporate by the next recess. Now it lives forever in cyberspace. And that stress is very real and it's very damaging. And we're going to have to come to grips with our relationship with social media and what we're allowing it to do to the younger generation. And we're going to need to come to grips with it pretty soon.
Right. You think we need to ban it all, like some places, or not?
Probably, yeah. I mean, we obviously can't regulate it just on our own, so we're going to need to have some restrictions and regulations. Yeah. And that's hard. I mean, we Americans, we don't love people telling us what not to do. But you know, when you develop such an invasive technology that you don't really know what the consequences are going to be, once you do know what the consequences are going to be, you need to act.
Right. I agree. I roll back to my my kids are all much older now, but boy, if they would have had what we have now when they were 13, 14, 15 years old, I'm not sure. I'm thankful I'm not a parent right now trying to navigate that with kids that are younger, because it is pervasive and it's harsh, very harsh.
Very harsh, and yeah.
Even on the best days, even the good stuff's harsh, right?
Yes.
Because the comparison level of stuff that's going on is like, I got to be as good as that, or I got to be as good as that.
It's also the volume of it, Todd.
Yeah.
I mean, you can reach and be reached by millions of people. People want to go viral, so millions of people see their stuff. I mean, if I came up with a really funny joke back in middle school, maybe my reach was 10 people.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I definitely didn't get the comments.
And it wasn't 24/7. They weren't going to call you at home at midnight and say, you know, that joke was whatever.
That's right. Well, I mean, they couldn't get through the line because our modem was using
That's
it.
That's a good point. Very good.
We're aging ourselves now, for
very
sure.
Good point. All right. For folks who want to check out your podcast, give us kind of the details again and what you'll find if we land on it, and then we'll invite people to come and see it live.
Yeah, you can find it on any of the podcast platforms. It's Cinemental, C-I-N-E, as in cinema, and then mental, M-E-N-T-A-L. You can also find it by, you know, Googling Cinemental Podcast. We're also on YouTube. We have all of our podcasts recorded as well for video. If you want to see us, I don't know why you would, you can find us on the our own YouTube channel on Cinemental on YouTube as well.
I've watched a little bit, and it's fascinating. I think you guys are onto something. I like it.
Thanks, Don.
Yeah. So come though and see this get put together live in kind of a different setting, a little special setting at Field Hall Monday evening, 6 o'clock. This is part of the First Fed Community Conversation series, and it really is about the bigger issue of mental health awareness and access and all of that. But really, you get to see how they're using this as a tool in this podcast to get to that point. And great to see you again, Josh.
Thanks
for stopping down. Dr. Joshua Jones, who is one half of the podcast with his brother, and we appreciate him coming in again. That's May 11th, 6 o'clock, First Fed Community Conversation at Field Hall. You'll want to check that out. We're going to take a break. Be back with more right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio KONP.
Welcome back to the program. Going to spend a few minutes talking with Bev Dawson, who we've had on many times before, talking this time by the Port Angeles Garden Club. Very active organization. I think people don't really realize it has 87 members, which I was surprised at, that you guys are going strong.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Todd, thank you so much for having me here today.
So you got things going on. You've got fundraising things. You've got things the public needs to get involved with.
Tons
of
stuff. And, you know, the plant sale of the month was last week.
Right.
There were everywhere. And now the Port Angeles Garden Club is going to have their plant sale.
Right.
And it's coming this Saturday, May 9th, from 9 to 12, with half price starting at 12:30. Garden Club in Port Angeles is very active in the community, maybe a little different than some of the other garden clubs. We will be holding that at the Senior Center, and we're blessed to be able to have it there, although the venue is not nearly as big as Master Gardeners or Squim Prairie or some of the other ones. We can't spread out. So we augment our plant sale, which those plants are nurtured and grown by our members.
Yeah, I was going to say, these are grown by your folks. Right?
And our folks are going to be standing there telling them why they love that plant, which is what I like to do. But then we augment our plant sale with a raffle. And we have a really famous raffle. Our Victoria full package raffle is $5, and it is the ferry, the transportation to Bouchard, one night stay, and dinner. And we sell out on those.
Oh, absolutely.
We print 750 tickets, and I think they're probably almost gone now.
Okay.
So we'll probably print more next year.
Okay.
And then we have another raffle, too.
Right. And that's for some hanging baskets.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Those of us that are love taffy and know Wayne Riddell, he makes these fabulous Victorian hanging baskets. Every year he donates one of these baskets to us. It's just like there's 30 plants in it.
Yeah. And the Wayne Riddell basket is something else.
If you've never famous.
That's all you have to say is Wayne's basket.
And if you could see him, you know, tote these great big things in, and we have to display them, and you know, they're just starting to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
we're really excited about that donation. He's giving us not only a big one, but a medium-sized one this year.
Okay.
And then other stuff that goes with our $1 raffle. And so you come up to the Senior Center on Saturday, you'll see our people aggressively pushing plants and raffle tickets.
As I've said, even with the Master Gardeners last week when we had them on, the good thing about these plants, they've been grown by your folks. They
Correct.
Know how to grow them here. These are the types of things that will work here, too. Yeah,
absolutely, and we're really, really passionate about
it. So tell us a bit about the history of the Garden Club. For those who don't know, this club's been around a long, long time.
Port Angeles Garden Club was chartered in 1937.
Yeah.
I have been president, and now 4 years, 6 years, 8 years later, I'm co-president. And I have been chair of the plant sale many times. So what makes me passionate about the Garden Club is, first of all, when I came here new to Port Angeles, like so many of us do, is that how am I going to figure out what all these plants are? When you start handling plants, you start learning their names, you start getting passionate about them. You know what you like, you know what you don't want any more of. Mm-hmm. And so we learn that in the Garden Club. But why I am very active there is that I like what happens with the money. Is that we are not your grandma's garden club. We contribute to the city in many ways. The city baskets at the fairgrounds. We maintain a garden right on the wharf. We maintain the Gold Star and the Blue Star markers honoring our veterans. But we also contribute heavily towards scholarships for environmental studies. This year we had $6,000 that go to kids in our community. We also are passionate about other nonprofits. And over the years, we have a committee that selects nonprofits. I mean, we have contributed to the Fine Arts Center. This last year we did the, and I may not have the name just right, it is the bird sanctuary in Port Townsend.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That save the birds. I mean, that's fascinating, and we were just so excited to hear their story that we contributed. Sisters Farm. There's things that we have done that we feel go along with our mission of helping the community and helping the environment, helping wildlife, preserving our community.
You guys do great work. And then we haven't even talked about the Forever Stream Festival.
Oh, my gosh.
That comes later. We'll chat about that when we get closer.
That'll be great.
Another reason I get you back as well. But we want folks to go to the PA Senior Center this weekend on the 9th, on Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon. And then half price from 12:30 until 1. So you go and got a half hour for the half price.
Or till the plants are gone.
Or till they're gone.
Yeah, we don't want to take any home.
That's it. That's it. And you can get some great plants.
Absolutely.
And you can also ask questions of folks who have become quite expertise in growing them as well. Thanks for all you do. You guys are just a strong, robust club that does a lot of things, and I learned a little bit too. I didn't realize all of the other fun nonprofits that you get involved with to help out too.
And we have speakers. When we give them money, we usually have them come in and talk about what they do and how they've spent the money. You know, and so we're learning. So we get a lot of education. We do a lot of crafts. We do a lot of trips. We're very, very, very active club. Yeah. And I might add, at the plant sale on Saturday, we have some special hanging baskets for $30. So Mother's Day is right around the corner.
Absolutely.
And I have taken on a project of doing some potato bags, which has been a learning process for me. And my garage is kind of covered with potato bags and potatoes growing out of them. And so there's interesting things to see and buy at our plant sale.
All right. Before we go, I got to ask you, what's your favorite thing to grow? What's the Bev Dawson specialty?
Oh, I like Deutzia.
Deutzia. Okay.
And I don't know that I grow that because it's a shrub, but I have taken cuttings and I have started them. And a Deutzia is pretty woody in the winter, mm-hmm. but when it blooms, it is solid flowers, kind of like a rhodi, only these yeah. are little baby flowers. And I got excited about that plant by going down the street and saying, "What is that?" And I stopped the car, and I took a little piece of this person's plant, and I ran right straight to Airport Nurseries, and I said, "What is this?" And I want one. And I have a beautiful raspberry one, and I have a white one, and I have a two miniature white ones. And I love those.
Okay.
Deutzia.
So if you go to the plant sale and you see Bev, you could ask about Deutzias.
You can.
You will give your knowledge you freely.
I will. Because I love it.
They're neat. Little, I know what you're talking about.
Oh,
They're very
good.
Special little plants. So, all right, Beverly Dawson, good to see you. Thanks for coming in, as always, and good luck this weekend. 9 o'clock in the morning, it gets all started at the PA Senior Center, the Port Angeles Garden Club's big plant sale. You want to go there, and boy, some great things for mom, too, you can pick up, as I just pointed out. So we're going to help you with your shopping there as well as support the club. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio KONP.
Have you ever clicked get a quote online and suddenly your phone acts like it owes someone money? 20 calls a day, numbers you've never seen, and not one of them local? I'm Dan Shappie with Farmers Insurance. If you're tired of mystery callers trying to sell you insurance, try something different. Talk directly to a real local agent who actually lives here. No robocalls, no strangers. We are real people helping real people right here at home.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers, Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Welcome back to the program. Going to talk about a show coming to Field Hall on May 14th. Just a couple of tickets left, but if nothing else, get yourself on the sign-up sheet for any callbacks on tickets. We welcome now Michael Carbonaro, who is going to be bringing his illusions and everything else to Field Hall with a Wonder Boy program. Michael, good to have you on. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes with our listeners.
Well, hey, I'm so happy to be here.
Now, many of us know you from the Carbonaro Effect on True TV, which is a crazy show. And I have to ask you about that first. How did you come up with that as an idea for a show? Because you're basically pranking people. You're putting them on, kind of hidden camera, if you will. But yet it's magic mixed into it as well. It's nuts.
Exactly. Yeah. You said it great. That's totally it. I was a huge fan of Candid Camera and kind of a anti. I don't really love the word prank because I think people think it sounds mean. And there's so many mean shows and mean pranks. Everything on Candid Camera was always in such good fun. And I've always loved magic, and I love magic to be playful. And I thought, you know, what if I could hide some cameras and get real people to believe that real magical things are happening out in the world that can't be explained, like whether it's voodoo or crazy technology that couldn't exist. How far could I push the envelope? And, boy, we got the best reactions from people when we would pull these pranks on them.
How do you come up with an idea? Because it seems like when I watch, the next one is almost wilder than the one I just saw before.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think it ended up being what felt like this endless stream of ideas. And thanks to some incredible magicians behind the scenes that I got to work with, you know, we just sit around and kick around ideas like, we just try and come up with the craziest thing, and then the real challenge was to just figure out how to actually pull it off, you know. And we shot 125 episodes of the show, and each show had like 5 to 10 different brand new, you know, made up magical scenarios happening. So I couldn't believe what we were able to do. I was really proud of the whole team.
All right, loaded question. This isn't a fair one, but was there one thing that you did in that show that was like, that was the one I totally thought was the best?
Oh, you know, it's so funny. From everything that's in the show, and we did some crazy big illusions from making a car disappear underneath like a security guard's nose. We got somebody to believe in a mermaid, a woman turning to a mermaid out on the beach. But the one that I love is actually a small one. It was in just an everyday hardware store. I got this guy to believe in this little jar of beetles, almost like a flea circus. It was this little jar of beetles that could, underneath the cover of a coffee can, they could set up toothpicks into different structures all by themselves. And I said that people were buying them to help, you know, around the house keep screws tightened, or if any, you know, if there's any leaks or cracks in the walls, the builder beetles, they get to work on it by themselves. And the guy's like, what? But then I showed him, I screwed a bolt onto a nut. I put this little living beetle next to it, covered it with a cup. We heard a sound. I lifted it up, and lo and behold, the beetle unscrewed the bolt from the nut. And his jaw's dropping, and it was just this beautiful everyday moment of life with something so small and intimate, but this, like, you know, hardware man turned into a 5-year-old child.
I love it. All right, so let's talk about the show you're bringing up here to Port Angeles on the 14th. What are you going to be doing? It's not quite exactly what was happening on the Carbonaro Effect, but, you know, a little bit of a taste of it.
Yeah, the crowd, you know, gets to meet me as Michael the Magician, like, because you know I'm a magician. I'm not trying to hide that from you. It doesn't stop me from pranking you and fooling you. There's no doubt about it. But the I'm excited about this one because we're touring around the country, and we're usually in real large venues, you know, like 1,200 seaters and stuff. Yeah. And this is a nice, small, intimate place. So there's not a lot of tickets to get, and it's kind of fun to perform that intimately when you could really be close to the crowd. And I love, just like the show, audience participation. I'm bringing kids up from the audience to help, or any adults, you know, if they want to, of course. And they get to participate with the tricks. I'm doing this wild effect in the show where I'm trying to see if we could turn imagination into reality, where the crowd is asked to think of any object in the entire world that could fit in the palm of their hand. And I try and make it actually appear. And I do. It's really wild. People are flipping out. And the show's just like the TV show, full of laughter, improvisation, audience participation, magic. It's like a good feel good vibe. And there's nothing I love more than to play with people in real time.
Yeah. Now you're kind of a triple threat. You're a magician, but you're also an actor. You're a comedian as well. That all plays into
the
show.
Yeah, there won't be any dancing.
You know, that's the only part. You're a different kind of triple threat. I should have probably prefaced that, right?
Right, right. Maybe one pirouette. I'll do one spin.
Which came first? Or at least what was the desire to do something first? Was it magic first for you?
You know, interesting. Yeah, they all kind of bloom together. Yeah. I loved making people laugh. I always loved special effects makeup and movie magic. And, you know, my first love was wanting to be a makeup artist for movies. But I used to buy my makeup supplies at this magic shop, kind of like got interested in the tricks behind the counter. And what I loved in the magic was that I got to perform. I got to play with people and engage and be funny. And it was like a way to be doing special effects as a performance art. So it just was a natural fit.
And it's been a good one so far. That's for
sure. Yeah.
What is it about magic? I mean, people love magic shows.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think when it's done right, and that is, you know, sometimes it could be a turnoff when it's like, look what I can do that you can't, you're a fool. You know, that's, you know, when it's like a pompous kind of magic that, you know, for me, it's like I like everybody to be having a good time and for us all to be surprised together. And I think what really draws people to magic is there's this thing that happens when you see something that can't happen. Something starts to float and your mind knows that that's not possible. It's like this freeing feeling because you're like, you know what? It's this example that the universe doesn't work the way I think it works. And that's exciting. Because in a world where we just think we know everything and you can look up anything on Google and find the answer to everything, it's nice to see, like, wait a minute, there's secrets I don't know about yet. Like, we desperately need mystery. And I think people are instinctively attracted to that.
Yeah, that's a great answer. All right. Is there a trick that you have? Maybe this is a two-part question. Your favorite magic trick that you've ever mastered, and is there one that you would just love to be able to do and you still can't quite get it to where you think you can take it on the road?
Yeah, you know, there's one bit that I love doing in this show, which is, it's really special to me. It kind of ties in. I tell the story, you know, this is a brand new show, brand new tour show, and it's called Wonder Boy. I talk about myself as a kid, kind of growing up, loving special effects like I was telling you about. And I end the show getting to perform. It's a magical act. It's not a trick, actually. It's more of a performance art piece. But I use a can of shaving cream to sculpt myself in real time into all of these different creatures and monsters. It's sort of like a clown act. It's like a mime piece. It's a total left turn at the very end of the show. But I love performing that more than anything else in the world. And people, you know, their jaws are on the ground like, what? I've never seen anything like this before. And I love that charge. And then as far as, you know, there's one thing I did on the TV show where I like flattened pets into these discs.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to figure out how to get that on the road. I haven't yet. So that, to answer your question, I don't have that one worked out for the road show yet.
I'm going to flatten my pet up here. That's good. All right.
That's right. I know. I do have, there is a surprise guest.
Okay.
Of a puppy dog in the show. So I will say that.
Good for you, though, because the dog is part of your show. You're not following the dog because, as the old adage is, you never want to follow a kid or an animal act, right?
That's right. No, exactly right. Yeah.
Very good. You ever thought about going back and trying to do another Carbonaro Effect type show again, or is that far behind you?
Yeah, you know, we loop back around, myself and the crew, all the time, talking about, is there a new entry point into doing that? And, you know, I'm always open to it. And there's a few scenarios that I'm like, oh, you know, it'd be cool. And I like write them down. I'm like, oh, I'd love to hit this one again. And I think if the right kind of opportunity came together, I don't know whether it'd be a series or whether it would be, you know, a one-off special or something. It'd be fun to revisit some of those things. I mean, I really got to do all I really, truly wanted to do and more on that show. So it was time to kind of bring it to an end. And that was my choice. You know, we didn't get canceled by the network or anything. It was me saying, like, hey, you know what? 125 is a good number. I didn't want it to, like, you know, just get crappy and start repeating itself. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was time. And in the final episode, which I show a clip from in the show, I turned myself by accident into a child, like back into a kid again. And the credits roll, and I don't turn back into my real self. I stay a kid. I just thought that was the best way to end that series.
Yeah, and perfect for Wonder Boy, as you're bringing out on
that's
the stage.
Right, that's right. So,
Michael, it's going to be great to see you on the 14th. As I mentioned, a couple of tickets may be left. If nothing else, call Field Hall and get on the list so that if there's any callbacks, you can get in, because you don't want to miss Michael Carbonaro and Wonder Boy coming on the 14th to Field Hall here in Port Angeles. Michael, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. See you there.
All right, you bet. We're going to take a break. Be back with more in a minute.